Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie's starting her July 4th weekend early, and I'm Matt Rothschild. Grateful that you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join the conversation we're having by phone or by text by calling 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What do you think of the budget that Governor Evers just signed? What do you think of Trump's budget that just passed a few hours ago? I'm joined still, and I'm glad I'm joined still by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, enjoying its 40th anniversary this year. Before I get your reaction, Robert, I wanted to first of all say that the Democrats in the Wisconsin delegation did themselves well by speaking out against this bill so forcefully. Mark Pocan, Tammy Baldwin, and Gwen Moore. Gwen Moore had used one of my favorite lines from Shakespeare in her 1 minute that she got today to talk. So we're going to play that bit. Thank you, Jacob, for running that.
If you are a Republican with misgivings with the massive debt that this bill creates, or if you're worried about stripping 17 million Americans of health care access, I tell you that now is your moment. A coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant taste of death but once. Shakespeare. So vote your constituents, vote your conscience. This is how you will be remembered. Better to vote your conscience today and face an angry tweet than to have your legacy be one of equivocation and cowardice. By their deeds, you will know them. I urge all my colleagues to oppose debt, death, and hunger. Oppose this cruel legislation.
That's Representative Gwen Moore on the big, hideous bill that passed today. I mean, she raises a really interesting point, Robert, and that is, why do politicians cast a legacy vote like this? How do they look themselves in the mirror? Don't you think upon retirement they're going to be filled with regret? Is it that important for them to keep their title? It just kind of amazes me. I mean, Murkowski was another example. I mean, it amazes me that not more politicians at some point say, it's not worth it to have this title and have this seat if I'm going to lose my integrity.
It looks like Senator Tom Tillis from North Carolina did that, but he had to announce his retirement basically when doing it because he was being threatened by President Trump with a primary and blown up.
But good on him for doing it. Yeah.
But he did it. But you had you had Jim Justice from West Virginia, Senator, you had Senator Josh Hawley basically say this was terrible, but they voted for it and they hope they want to fix it later.
And you also had our own obnoxious Senator Ron Johnson, who was claiming he was forever going to be opposed to this bill because it's not harsh enough. And of course, he collapsed, as he usually did, in Trump's loving arms.
Yeah, our national I studied collapsed like House of Cards, and they were right about that. That was pretty quick after all of that fomenting and grandstanding. I do think it's interesting just given how many members of the Republican House and Senate did not like this bill, how they all found their way to vote for it. And there's really little explanation other than blind ambition, right? And Gwen Moore nailed it with her, you know, implication of Jesus Christ with by their deeds, you will know them, right? A famous parable. And it's a parable about how you know who people really are and who is with us and who is not with us. And Jesus gave very simple advice, you know, don't listen to what they say or profess, look at their deeds, right? And this is the deed. So that's good advice outside of the religious, for just life among humans.
Absolutely. I loved what Gwen Moore had to say there in 1 minute. That's about the best 1 minute you can get out of a public speaker or out of a politician. I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to grab texters and then a phone call, and you can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. I'm Matt Rothschild, sitting in here for Maggie Dawn with Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Dana in La Crosse said, nobody is talking about this, but the big, so-called big, beautiful bill is just Trump and his fifth grade vocabulary trying to steal Build Back Better from Biden. It's as simple as that. And then we have Sue and Franklin saying, probably good that Maggie's on vacation today. Her hair would be on fire for sure. No doubt about that. Sue concludes, this is a sad day for America. And now we have Joe from Madison on the line. I always like getting Joe's phone calls. Joe, what's on your mind?
A great discussion with your guest today. Really, really important. Two points that I would make. First off, in terms of number one, run that clip from Gwen Moore again and again and again. That is the most succinct statement of, you know, people rising to the moment or people running to the underneath their desk and hiding. And I think we haven't seen the someone making that step of coming forward in the way that they could. I would add to this discussion, there was a little blurb, and this just tells you something about where a lot of these Republicans are, because there was this person posted, look, we have 17 million people that just lost health care, 18 million kids just lost school meals, and 3 million Americans just lost food assistance. And the congressman from the 3rd District of Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, replied to that, yes, with a big exclamation. What does that say about that person? You know, what does that say about who you are and what you are? I mean, why that this would be something that you would celebrate, that children don't have food that they need, that people have lost health care, and the tumbling down that we all know that happens when people lose their health care. We're talking medical bankruptcies. We're talking all sorts of awful things resulting from not being able to have adequate health care. So you had said before, and I think this is maybe worth part of the discussion too, you had said there's something about people who can rise to the moment. And I'm just wondering who on the horizon is there. You were expressing kind of frustrations with Governor Evers that he didn't push harder on more things. Who do you see on the horizon, whether it be, you know, on the national side or on the state side, that you think would be the kind of person that could get in there and make a difference, open people's hearts and be strong and be open? I don't know. I'd be curious to hear what you guys have to say, because this really is a time where somebody could rise to the occasion and say, this isn't right. We can't.
Thanks so much, Joy. Joe, that's just tremendous insight and also a really good question. On the Derek Van Orden, I mean, he's a sick individual. He is a sadistic individual. That comment of his where he's dismissing all those 17 million who are going to lose health care, 18 million who are going to lose school lunches, 3 million who are going to lose food stamps, kids. I mean, to say yes to that is really disgusting and revolting. But there is an element of sadism in this whole Trump administration that we shouldn't ignore. I mean, that was Kristi Noem going down to that grotesque prison in El Salvador in front of the half-naked prisoners. That's, you know, alligator Alcatraz, what they're calling now, down in the Everglades. And it's a part of fascism, this appeal to sadism. And so we shouldn't ignore it. And I'm glad you brought up Derek Van Orden's own little bit of it. As to who will rise to the occasion, I'm interested to hear what Dr. Robert Craig says. Certainly on the national level, AOC is doing that and Bernie's doing that. But I'm sure there are others, and Gwen Moore's doing that too. Mark Pocan was doing that here. As to who's going to, you know, lead the ramparts or run us to the ramparts, what do you say, Robert?
Yeah, and let me speak to Van Orden and then to that question, because and happy to get into the nuts and bolts of the healthcare piece. We have a lot of members in Van Orden's district, Congressional District 3. Our chapter is called Organizing Co-ops. We have one in the Driftless area around La Crosse and one in Eau Claire, northwest of Wisconsin, and put tremendous pressure on, had a ton of town hall meetings on Medicaid and what the cuts would mean, not just in Eau Claire and La Crosse, but in a lot of the rural areas, your Rice Lakes, your St. Croix Falls, your Adamses, and had actions in front of Van Orden's office. Van Orden wouldn't meet with his constituents.
Shocking.
At all. And in fact, claimed that there were credible threats against the safety of his family, that upon inspection don't look that credible. But honestly, he's up for re-election. There has to be accountability. But I was going to do a quote from him that I had saved, but that your caller, Joe, did great. So we can just, I think, believe you, Matt, Joe, and I. On leaders, you know, this becomes this punditry. It becomes like deciding who's the next player in the Brewers farm system that's going to be a star, right? I think that movements create leaders, not the other way around. In our society, we have it in reverse. So the movement that is pushing, the grassroots movement, on national Democrats, not just to stay in a safe lane, but to do what is actually necessary to stop authoritarian overreach by Trump, and the push on Governor Evers to actually mobilize public opinion and fight, building that kind of constituency and the kind of callers and texts we've had to this show today, Matt, that is the kind of thing that is going to help produce the leader. And you can't just look at it based on their record. I agree, Bernie Sanders and AOC have done a great job. But I would say that there are some leaders who will rise to the occasion who may not have seemed like that leader before. And that's been true throughout throughout the history of democracy. But we absolutely need to keep pushing. And I believe that we need that kind of leader to start throwing their hat in the ring. It's going to starts local. It starts at things like state assembly and state senate primaries, and maybe and primaries probably for the governorship, because the governorship is up, for example. The presidential primaries further off, and you need to have much more status in order to be. But you see a lot of people making plays. AOC, Chris Murphy is a senator who used to be a moderate, now has moved very much into a resistance wing, and there are others who are doing that.
Yeah, those are some good names to throw around. We've got a call from Mike from Muscadet. Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, you guys have a tendency to quote the Bible when it suits your needs. But, you know, God hates the hands that shed innocent blood when it comes to abortion. So you guys are nothing but hypocrites.
Well, Mike,
I will just say there's no scriptural basis for the anti-abortion position. In fact, the best biblical scholarship tells us that the practice in Jesus' time was at quickening, which is about 6 months. So you can believe the version of the Bible people told you. You can't point to the spot in the Bible because it isn't there.
Well, thanks, Robert. You're a better biblical scholar than I am. I wasn't going to be able to handle that that well. So it's always great to have you right here, being able to quote the scripture, or at least quote what's in the scripture and what's not in the scripture, because it is so often that we are given these alleged passages from the Bible or commandments from the Bible that actually, when you look at it, it's not really there. And
true,
also
confession.
Our friend, I beg your pardon, go ahead.
My grandfather, who I was close to, was a theologian.
Well, there you
and
go.
I just did a paper on his theology for the 30th anniversary of his death. So I'm actually... I'm actually better versed than usual because I read a lot of theology last year to write the paper.
Well, you it was a great answer you gave, and that must have been an interesting paper to write. Email it to me. I'd love to take a look.
Oh, I'd love to. I will.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be back in just a second. You're not going to want to miss the quotes we have from Hakeem Jeffries, who gave one of the most impassioned speeches on the House floor that I've ever seen. So we'll be right back with that on the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.